Live from the front yard inside Ellis Island Casino, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Hey, here we go. 4 o'clock hour, front yard. Good football game on the way. It's the front yard at Ellis Island. Boomer Sportsbook presenting Cofield and Company here on the road every Monday night. Come on down, download your Boomer's account. You get up to $250 in bonus bets. And at the front yard, they've got an all-you-can-eat menu that is fantastic. I think Jeff's threw about half of the all-you-can-eat items. They've also got an all-you-can-drink beer special, all-you-can-drink spirits special. Grab the eggnog. That's awesome. The holidays are on are in full effect here at Ellis Island. Let's get to it. Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
So we closed out the conversation last hour for the Reno audience that is in. And by the way, thanks for being in Northern Nevada. Part of the show is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. We were talking about the Michigan job, the quality of the job, what kind of candidates they can court with Steve Kim. Steve said you got to get rid of the AD. I don't know about that. I do know if he's part of the culture issue, they need to change the culture. Otherwise, if I had a really good job like Kenny Dillingham, I would do the same thing as CKD and sign a new contract and go and get a four-star quarterback and continue to build with or without Sam Leavitt. It's not a job that I have much interest in if they're going to continue moving forward, because the problem is not just Jim Harbaugh and Sharon Moore. And, you know, the creepy guy was downloading females' pictures, you know, for 10 years, and Connor Stallions and all the other nonsense that's gone on there. That has been rubber stamped, because winning is the only thing that matters right now for Michigan football.
You have to imagine that it does start with the AD, though. The issues at Michigan have really taken off over the last decade. So, obviously, Kalen DeBoer now is staying at Alabama, too. So the guys who I thought were the top two candidates are out of the mix with Dillingham and DeBoer. So I know eyes were turning towards Eli Drinkwitz earlier today, and I'm standing firm with what I've been told. That's just not happening.
Why not?
I trust the people in Missouri. That's all I'll say. Go Field. So, Mizzou, went to Mizzou for undergrad, had plenty of people that are still there that I trust, and was in the local media there for 3 years. So this is not coming from, this is not air, as they would say, Cofield.
Kalen DeBoer did say in putting out a statement yesterday, said, you know, first of all, our guys handle distractions phenomenally, but it's been the way they've been all season. He said, I feel completely supported. My family loves it here. He's not interested in another job. So then I wonder what the list is going to look like this week, because there is a little time element here. You want to get someone in place probably at least a week out from the portal opening. The portal will be open January 2nd to the 16th. So there is a little urgency. You know, the roster is going to be picked at. I think it's a job that can be attractive, but like I said, it's going to be really hard to get someone who's got a great job and is being potentially bumped in money. There's a risk here. And not all coaches want to be in a winner, you know, above everything else atmosphere. They want to be able to have standards because, I don't know. You know, I want to bring up this example.
Go ahead.
I think Clark Lee should be a good candidate, or would be a good candidate for the Michigan job. And I don't want to have to lay this at Clark Lee's feet, but I got to tell you, Diego Pavia acting like a jackass over the weekend, and you know, bad mouthing Indiana. I don't care. I hate Indiana. I don't like that state. but going after Fernando Mendoza is just completely ridiculous. Come on, dude. It's beneath you. I mean, there's a whole Latino angle as well. I would dial that down, especially in our current atmosphere. Maybe be supportive of each other. But part of me thought, you know, Pavia has been acting like a jackass for a while now, and he's under the Vanderbilt umbrella. And I think that school, you know, has a certain reputation it wants to carry forward. At what point, and maybe Pavia is just, he just does whatever he wants. But if I'm the head coach, and it happened even before the season, he was saying stupid stuff before the season in interviews. And while you think that's entertaining, oh, the kid's got a mouth on him, and he's got an attitude, he's got to have that because he's a little guy. He doesn't have to do it all the time. and for Vanderbilt to allow, because he still is part of the Vanderbilt program, right? He even said it at the end of his apology statement, hey, I'm excited to play in the bowl game we're in. I don't know. I look at that as is Vanderbilt kind of selling its soul, like, hey, you know what? This kid got us to where we are. Clark Lee's like, hey, he kind of got me to where I am. You know what? Let him do whatever he wants. No. How about not? How about he doesn't get to do whatever he wants? He didn't get to say whatever he wants.
Oh, at least he put out an apology, right? At least there wouldn't be. There'd be a lot of people who wouldn't at this point. So, I don't know. I for what it's worth, I don't think Lee's going anywhere. I don't think he's going anywhere. He just signed the number three, the number one quarterback in the recruiting class to Vanderbilt. I don't know. Michigan's a bad straits right now. There's nowhere. I don't know where the right candidate is for that, and I think they're going to end up with Jed Fish at this point if he wants to leave Washington. And that doesn't excite me if I'm a Michigan fan.
All right. Well, let's calm down a little bit, because while I'm saying Michigan has some unattractiveness about its job, I will pull up the list that I had last week that was 17 deep. They're going to get a good coach. Someone is going to bite. I just don't think they're going to get another coach who's making $4 to $10 million to walk away from that program and that sweetheart deal and that sort of equity. Number three.
Number three.
Cofield and Company live here at Ellis Island, Front Yard. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Battleborn Injury Lawyers in the North. They have an office. You got to dial 775-766-1400. Was yesterday a complete told-you-so situation for the Patriots as they fell to the Bills?
The way it happened was very alarming for New England. The way it happened, where they just absolutely pummeled Buffalo for the first 25 minutes of the game. Bills didn't even look like they practiced all week. Allen was running for his life. The defense looked like it had never seen anything like Travion Henderson before. May was good early. But then that game flipped at the end of the first half, and I was texting with a buddy of mine, and I got to give him credit, because when Buffalo went down and made it 21-7, even with New England coming down and getting the field goal to make it 17.5, it's like, this is still a game here. New England should have been up 35-0, and they were only up 21-0 at the time, 24-7 at the half. But boy, it does make you think, with New England playing arguably the weakest schedule of the last 15 years, and them getting fat and happy on that, you finally get into a playoff scenario where, forget the one seed, you clinched the division yesterday. It's over. It's over with 3 weeks to go. If you're New England, if you win that game yesterday, you're up 21-0 and 24-7 in your building, and you blow it to the only other team in your division that's worth anything. That does not inspire confidence going forward against these high-end teams that they're going to have to beat if they're going to meet a Super Bowl. You know, funny, Cofield, it's funny. Like, 2 months ago, we tossed around the question, hey, who of Denver, Indianapolis, and New England is going to lose first in the playoffs? Indy's not even going to get there. And I look, with the way the AFC playoff picture looks, I think New England's going out in game one. If they win regardless of what happens, if they win the division, if they don't, all those other teams that are in that AFC playoff picture match up really well with the Pats.
Number two.
Number two.
That was a coming out party of sorts for Bo Nix.
Oh, yeah.
While the Broncos defense is awesome, Bo Nix was throwing some wild passes. They made it. He completed them. He had four touchdowns. I've had lots of doubts about Bo Nix. That was a real good sign moving forward. And do I buy the Broncos as the AFC favorite to go to the Super Bowl? I might be getting closer, because I've been a big doubter the last 2 years.
I'm not there yet, but boy, if Nix is going to play like that, and if they get the one seed, which they go 2-1 down the stretch, they get there, because I don't think New England's winning out. That is an awfully difficult place to play. That is a great defense, and boy, if you're Buffalo after winning two road playoff games and your third step is you got to go to play that defense in that environment at elevation, that is not an easy matchup. So I am a lot more of the belief that they can make the Super Bowl today than I have been at any point during this season.
Jacksonville, Denver, duking it out for the AFC title. Let's bring in the Bills again. This is further building on the case that Jeff was making last week and others have mentioned as well. Josh Allen, you haven't made it to the promised land. Brother, you got a big win yesterday. You got to get there. You can't let the Denvers and Jacks of the world derail you. Now, will I be surprised if that happens? No, but we know the way things work with quarterbacks, right? They're all compared to each other. You don't make Super Bowls. You don't win Super Bowls. You don't get the credit that, you know, guys who are barely above mediocre quarterbacks like Eli Manning get. Josh Allen has got to do it. Everything is opened up here, but it ain't going to be easy, especially if it's that Denver defense on the road against that defense with the Bills defense.
Not at all. And especially, look, the door opened for them in the AFC East now. It's open. They still need a lot of things to happen because after going through yesterday, I believe that Buffalo has to get in front of New England. They have to get in front of them. I don't think they can get the tiebreak because of the divisional record. But you gotta find a way to get there. You're the best quarterback, and for this current moment now with Mahomes, Hurd, and Burrow, and Lamar banged up, Josh Allen is the best quarterback on planet Earth right now. You gotta find a way to get there, but it isn't gonna be easy if you have to win three road games, and especially if you have to go to Houston against that defense. Go to Jacksonville against a team that's playing great right now. Or go to Denver and beat that defense at Mile High in December, in January, where it's, well, Buffalo's used to the cold. But that elevation is different.
Top story.
Number one.
Monday Night Football. A lot on the line in this game. Especially for myself and Gary Lawless, who will join us in a little bit. We have a bet on the Steelers. Believe it or not, he's a Steelers fan. And he bet the under win total. I bet over. I think, as Jeff has said for weeks, it'll probably be a push, but I need more wins to get to the push. Steelers under Mike Tomlin on Monday Night Football are 21-3 straight up. He has never lost a game with the Steelers at home on Monday Night Football 11-0. The optics of this are so set up for you think Kansas City was mad and melancholy? Pittsburgh will be right there with them, because there's no doubt in my mind Steelers fans are already frustrated with another year around 500. The Steelers cannot lose this game against the Dolphins, but they can. It could happen.
They are more than capable of losing this game tonight. Obviously, Tua has never won in a game under 40 degrees. That comes to a head tonight because it's going to be 15 in Pittsburgh tonight. That doesn't sound fun. With that said, I do like the Dolphins tonight.
Why?
Because that run game, since they fired, I don't know why all of a sudden when they fired the GM, that all of a sudden Mike McDaniel decided to change his offense completely to this unbelievable running attack. Now, granted, the opponents haven't been good other than Buffalo in the stretch, but Buffalo's run defense is terrible.
But he does have a top four running back, and he does not have a top four quarterback.
No,
And you lost your best weapon at receiver, so two is safety blanket. Waddle's very good.
He's good. But this should have been the case the whole time, though. We're eight-handed.
Sometimes it takes hitting rock bottom to go, you know what, let's change things.
Yeah.
Freaking use my weapon at running back.
But their run game has been as good as anyone in the entire league during this hot stretch. And I'm still convinced the Steelers are terrible. The Steelers are probably going to go 9-8. They're going to have to find a way to win two games if they lose tonight, because they're going to lose next week. Campbell doesn't lose two in a row. They're going to lose next week. And then they finish with Cleveland and Baltimore the last 2 weeks.
Gary Lawless on the way. We'll talk college football, NFL, and, of course, VGK, all courtesy of Boomer Sportsbook.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the front yard inside Ellis Island on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
Hey, if you want to watch the show, we're up on video right now, up on ESPN Facebook, ESPN Las Vegas. Check it out. Did I say Twitter? Twitter. ESPN Las Vegas. Parles, Cofield, Lawless, Gary Lawless, finally off the road after a long hockey trip with VGK. We're ready to talk some football and Boomers. What's up, Gary?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. This is a big game for us tonight. It's a big game for our Steelers.
Yeah. What do you think happens?
I think the Steelers are winning, but here's the thing. I'm more of a Stan fan right now for the Steelers, and part of it's our bet. But I don't think the Dolphins are good, although Jeff was just telling us he thinks the Dolphins are going to win.
I think Jeff's right. And I hate to say that because I am a Steelers fan. I'm not cheering for the bet. I just don't believe in them. I don't believe in Aaron Rodgers for sure. And I believe in Mike Tomlin in the right place and the right time. But Mike Tomlin doesn't want to do what's right for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. He wants to do what's right for Mike Tomlin. And those two things, you can't serve those two masters. Not right now. They need it to be bad this year so they can draft a quarterback. And they've been middling. Like, really, what is 10 wins and get knocked out in the first round? What does that do you if they even qualify? I think it was a missed opportunity.
Well, I think there's Biden time until they can find that next quarterback of the future, but that's easier said than done, right? I mean, it's hard to find that quarterback in the draft, and it's even harder to find the free agent guy that maybe you nailed that no one else nailed.
Well, if I'm a free agent quarterback, Pittsburgh is not at the top of my list of destinations, for one. No, not now. Not with Mike Tomlin. I just, the whole Aaron Rodgers experiment, the minute I heard that, I'm like, no way the Rooneys are going to do that. And I have to question who's in charge right now and why they are letting Mike Tomlin do what he wants to do at this stage, because it's not what's right for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
You know, we haven't talked about if the future of the Steelers, and we're talking to Gary Lawless, who is a Steelers fan, we're talking NFL, Boomer Sportsbook, hanging out here at Ellis Island. Is there a coach, if Tomlin was told, you know what, hey, we're going to separate, is there a coach that you greatly admire, maybe who has a job, who doesn't have a job, an assistant? Like, who would you want to take over the Steelers?
Well, that's a great question. I'm not qualified to give you that answer, because I believe that if you're not in it every day, there are coordinators out there that I wouldn't know of that are probably excellent. And the other thing is, they could probably go get a really good college coach right now. Cause if I'm coaching in college football after what just happened between Ole Miss and LSU, I'm like, this isn't even the NFL, where at least it's a level playing field. This is which school can get the richest guy to blow his brains out financially right, so we can win. Like, it's college football is, college sports, not just college football, is in a really awful place right now. So, who's the best college coach right now that you think that could translate to a pro game? I guess I'd look at him, and then find one of the best coordinators, and the Tomlin, predominantly a defensive guy that, you know, relied on good offensive coordinators for a long time. I'm not sure what they have. Maybe there's someone within the organization that they think is truly a Steeler and can live the Steelers ethos of old. Not what they are right now, because I don't like what they are right now.
Gary Lawless is with us. You mentioned the troubles of college football, but I assume you're going to bet you're fired up for the CFP in the current format. There's two big dogs in this first round. Do you want to bet Tulane plus against Ole Miss or James Madison plus against Oregon?
Okay, it's plus 17, right?
Yes.
I think Tulane, like, that's a big cover. I think Ole Miss, I would probably take Ole Miss in the points. I think Oregon does cover against James Madison, even though it's 21.5.
Yeah, Tulane's plus 17, and as you mentioned, Oregon sitting at 21. All right, how about the tightly contested game, at least one of them, Alabama and Oklahoma. Money's coming in on Alabama. It's now up to 1.5.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma beats them again.
You do?
Yeah. Yep.
How
what
come?
Jeff what, said?
What do you think, Jeff?
I think Oklahoma's going to beat them again, too.
See? I'm going to take Alabama.
All right, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm staying off this game completely betting wise because I think it should be around a pick. I know Bama, well, book dependent, but both of these offenses have been so bad the last month, and I trust Oklahoma's defense a little bit more than I trust Bama's. That's why I lean to Oklahoma.
Gary Lawless is with us. Gary, so what went so right for VGK to kind of right the ship on what looked like it could be a really difficult swing to the Northeast?
Well, they started out really well, and they got a great performance from Akira Schmid against the Devils. Shut them out 3-0. They limited the opposition. They were good in the first and third period in almost every game of that trip, and they would sag for a while in the second period, and Schmid kept them in it against the Devils. Hart did it against Columbus in that last game. They also, Mitch Marner, they needed a hero on Saturday night. They were running on fumes after, you know, five games all on the road, a couple late nights just prior to that in terms of travel, and Mitch Marner stepped up and made sure they got the 2 points in regulation. They defended very well. They were clean for long stretches in those games, didn't let the opposition get inside. And then their goalies were there to help them out in, like, Hart made some unreal saves against Columbus in the second period. Schmid was good in the two games he played. Offensively, they just weren't clicking, and I think that's next for them. I think that, you know, Braden McNabb, was talking to him about this. They've found their game defensively, structurally, and in terms of puck management. Next, they got to get their, you know, the power play's been good, but they got to get their five on five scoring dialed in, and I think that's the next step for this team. It's going to be very interesting, though, with the trades that happened. You know, I'm not sure Edmonton got any better. They might have got worse. They sent Stuart Skinner to Pittsburgh and brought back Tristan Jarry, but as part of the sweetener to get Pittsburgh to do that, they had to send Brett Kulak to Pittsburgh, and Brett Kulak has been really good for them in defensively on their third pair. I think they're going to miss him. And then Minnesota gets Quinn Hughes. The West got tougher. The West is better now. There's four teams in the West that I really like: Colorado, Dallas, Vegas, and Minnesota in that fourth spot.
And they got Colorado and the Wild coming up on the 27th and the 29th. Boomer Sportsbook is presenting Gary Lawless here on this Monday. We're getting ready for Monday Night Football with Pittsburgh and the Dolphins. Come on down to the front yard. They got a 12 days of Christmas special going on right now with Boomers, with a bunch of opportunities. If you bet, like $20 a day up until the 22nd, I think?
Yeah, it's a really cool promotion. Basically, it's the 12 days of Christmas, and you got to qualify for 3 days. It's a $5 bonus bet. 6 days becomes a $10 bonus bet. 9 days gets to 15, and if you bet all 12 days, it's a $25 bonus bet. So pretty cool.
On the road trip, your favorite city along the way: New York, Philly, Columbus, Brooklyn, or Newark?
Well, we went to Greenwich Village.
There you go.
Shane Knighty and I went to John's of Bleecker Street.
Ah, yeah.
We had what some consider to be the best pizza in North America. And I'll tell you what, we got there. The lineup was around the corner.
Yeah.
The 1 hour wait to get in. We were able to skip the line. Nice. And we got whisked right in there. You know, it was a scene out of Goodfellas. They took me and Knighty through the back and got us set up a table for us, and we had a pizza on our table in about 15 minutes.
That's awesome.
And it was dynamite. It was good.
And they don't do slices there, so there's no slices. You're getting a pizza, or else Joe's is right around the corner. That's a pretty good spot. So needless to say, on all these cities, all these stops, was that the best thing you ate on the trip?
Yes, it was very good.
All right. I was hoping hoping for a cheesesteak, or I don't know. Is there something in Columbus that they're famous for with food?
Well, in Columbus, there is a dive bar, an Ohio State sports dive bar called the Char Bar right beside our hotel. Nice. And we don't go anywhere but there. We go, we post up at the Char Bar. They have Miller High Life, champagne and beers. I think they were on for $3.50. So we had a few of those. And then there's Mikey's Pizza is right across the street. And it's probably terrible, but after a couple beers at the Char Bar, it tastes pretty good. So that's your little glimpse into life on the road. In New York City, they have a place called the Canuck, which is a Canadian sports bar. They make poutine. They sell Canadian beer. They make Bloody Caesars.
That sounds
awesome. And every TV in the joint has hockey on.
Live from Ellis Island Casino, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Go! Get fired up. Phil Collins is going to get us fired up, maybe. Carl Cofield, Ellis Island. The front yard here on a Monday. Steelers and Dolphins. I'm very interested in the game. I love the story of Mike McDaniel and the sweatpants. Tonight we'll see what he's wearing. He's going to wear more than sweatpants. It's cold as hell.
Oh, no, no. He had the capri-style sweatpants.
The joggers.
Oh, is that what we're calling them
now? I don't know what they are. I hate them.
I thought joggers is what the Brits called sweatpants.
Okay. I hate them. And yet, I will say there's another trend out there on social media where people are taking photos and videos of folks at the airport in very relaxed gear, and they're getting all mad. Which I don't know that that's our business. If you want to wear pajamas and furry slippers to the airport, you do what you want. And if you want to wear joggers, I'm anti-jogger, but wear the jogger. I have a feeling Jesse Merrick could be a jogger guy. Jesse, of course, from Silver and Black Sports Network. Jesse, are you into Mike McDaniel's style?
Okay, so Cofield, look, you caught me. I am a jogger guy.
I knew it!
But capris? Capris are a hard no for me. I'm not doing the capri joggers. I'll rock joggers all day, and I'll also rock those joggers to the airport on a plane because you got to be comfortable, man. But I'm not rocking slippers or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know when this culture began of you have to – what do we have to wear, a suit to go fly? Like, flying sucks.
Yeah.
If I want to be comfortable, I can dress down however I want.
Yeah. It's just insane to me. I mean, what is it, like the 60s? I get it, back in the day, that was the move. But, yeah, sure. I have on previous jobs, you know, when I've flown to interview, I've worn a full suit on a plane, and it's a horrible experience. You get there, you're all sweaty and nasty. Like, it's just, no, I'm not about that. Like, I'm going to be comfortable when I fly. I don't get the people that feel like they've got to dress up like that. It's wild to me.
So people know my history in Cofield and Company. If we have to talk about something unpleasant, I really just try to delay and talk about just the real things that are important in my life, like joggers. If I could do this whole spot, all 13 minutes, and not mention the Raiders one time, I think we'd all be happy. What in God's name was that yesterday? Because here's the thing, Jesse. We've talked about Raiders' worst performances in recent history. And they're like, you're supposed to stack wins, not stack these kind of losses. I don't know where yesterday ranks, but it was awful.
Yeah, no, it really was, and it is crazy, like you said it, the fact that we've had this conversation of where does this rank in worst Raiders performances in recent years or in the history of the Raiders. I mean, it's just crazy. It's the second lowest yardage total they've had since, I think it was 1961 or 63. I mean, a crazy amount of time since then. And again, this is something where we can sit back. You go back to the Chiefs game, and they get completely dominated there. You know, and shoot, even the game against the Washington Commanders, you know, with a backup quarterback and Marcus Mariota. Like, they score late in garbage time, but that game, again, was just got destroyed. The Colts game, they get destroyed. And these are the types of games that I think all of us that cover the team thought were going to be a thing of the past with Pete Carroll coming to town. Now, obviously, we were all very, very wrong. And it's just insane. And this is one of those losses that continues to thrust right into your face, like, how far off this team is. And then it does feel like a complete and total rebuild in every sense of the word.
Jesse, it's 102-6 in the last three 10 a.m. Pacific start time games for the Raiders. 102-6.
That's kind of crazy.
It's impossible. In this league, it's impossible to be that non-competitive. And you know what? I'll just go right to it. What has Pete Carroll done this year to justify them bringing him back for a second season?
Nothing. It's look, I'm not the guy. I hate calling for people's jobs and stuff like that. But Pete has gotten to a point where it's like, look, you just can't justify bringing him back because there are no building blocks. You know, like they haven't done anything that you can feel good about. They've talked about it a lot, but they haven't been able to do that. No matter who the play caller is, no matter, you know, who the player is along the offensive line, all those things, they just haven't been able to show that they can adapt and change and kind of make things happen. And that's been something that's been the biggest issue for them throughout the year. And, you know, that's something that I think this is a guy where, like, look, you lean on all his years as a coach and hope that he would be able to adapt and do those things. And just doesn't quite look like he's learned anything. You know, so that's something where I just don't think you can justify bringing him back just because there's been a lot of talking and not a lot of doing. And again, there's nothing you can point to that could give fans hope going forward with Pete coming back, as much as that sucks to say.
Well, and also, too, Jesse, just the offense has gotten worse since they fired Chip. And it all starts with the offensive lineman. You quote tweeted this earlier. NFL researcher sent this out. I mean, there are three offensive linemen this year in the NFL to allow 10-plus sacks and pass protection this year, and two of them are on the Raiders, Stone Forsythe and DJ Glaze. Dan Moore Jr. is the only other one.
Yeah, Stone Forsythe hasn't even played the whole year either.
Yeah.
That's what's even crazier, you know? And I'll be honest, like I was saying, hey, look, no, by no means is Stone Forsythe a good NFL tackle as a starter or anything like that, but as a fill-in swing tackle guy, again, didn't expect it to be quite this bad. And for him filling in after Colton Miller went down, and I think that was week 4, for him to be number one in the league in that regard. And again, DJ Glaze, who was the guy that I think a lot of fans thought, okay, maybe he takes that next step and shows that he should be a starting right tackle in this league, has taken a massive step back week in and week out. Again, now you just sit back and think to yourself, okay, look, the Raiders do have Colton Miller out there on the left side, and they've got Jackson Powers Johnson, guard, center, whatever the heck you want to say that he is. Those are really the only two guys along the offensive line that you can feel good about, and both of them right now happen to be hurt. Colton may be coming back. We'll see how that kind of pans out. But those are the only two guys you can feel like, okay, maybe they can build around those dudes. Otherwise, you look at it and you're like, man, there could be three spots along this offensive line that they need to fill. And that's not going to be easy to do, and that's why, look, you can go ahead and invest it into it, you know, in the offseason in terms of the draft and free agency and stuff like that. But if you just look at the Eagles, who just blasted the Raiders, they're a very clear, you know, indication of how you need to go about building that group. You need to draft, because look at their offensive line. All five of their starters were draft picks at some point throughout their career. They got really lucky with Jordan Mailata, their left tackle. He was a seventh-round pick, but all the other ones, they invested high draft picks, second and third round picks into these guys. Even when they had guys that were solid starters at those positions, they invested in the offensive line early before it was too late. And then they've had the continuity and the coaching staff, the philosophy, all that stuff, to be able to build up around them. And I know that's an extreme example because the Eagles have obviously been one of the better teams in the league in recent years. But you have to be able to do that. So whoever the next coach is, they've got to be able to draft and develop and give them time to really set that foundation, because the offensive line, again, is a clear indicator of the simple fact that they have not had anybody to be able to lay any sort of foundation and any sort of identity around this team.
And I'm not here to beat the dead horse, but looking back at the draft last year, the next pick after the Raiders selection, or where the Raiders selection was, Armon Membu and Travion Henderson. Travion Henderson rushed for 10 yards a carry yesterday. O-line, then running back second. I mean, they can't go back and unravel it, so it is what it is. When you saw Pete after the game, you saw Pete speak today. I mean, he's been a very upbeat guy. What are you feeling now?
Yeah, after this press conference today, that was one where I kind of sat back, and even I had to take a deep breath and was like, wow, Pete Carroll, like you said, has been a very upbeat dude. Even he looks like he's fed up. Obviously, he's tired of answering questions about his job status and those types of things. But you can just tell it's taken its toll on him, and how could it not? This is a guy that, for the most part, has had success throughout his career at every level that he's coached at least the last couple of stops here. And, you know, it's been so bad. You just kind of feel like he's sitting there kind of banging his head against the wall. And I think even the mini tirade that he had after the game, you know, he was saying that the guys played their butts off and everything like that, and that was the result. He's got his team's back. That's what he's saying. But also, like, listen to the words. He's saying they tried their best. They fought as hard as they could, and that was the result. So even he is, I think, sitting back and realizing, like, man, this roster's in a really bad place. Maybe their evaluation of the talent isn't quite there. And that's got to be a tough situation for a guy at his age, and I hate playing the age card with him, but his age, staring in the mirror, realizing, okay, I don't have much more time left, and it's been this bad, I don't know how I return here. And so how could that not, you know, start to change his mindset? And again, you feel for the guy because he is a really good dude. I was just having a conversation recently. Like, it has been fun covering Pete Carroll, the person, the man, but God, it's been so horrible on the field, and you can definitely tell it's taken a toll on him.
Well, let's look forward to the last 3 weeks where lose out and the Raiders are going to be picking number one, Jesse.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, right? As much as it is for Raiders fans, it's like, look, the true fans, obviously they say, like, no true fan is going to want their team to lose. But at the end of the day, this is a team, a franchise that has kicked the can down the road each and every year at the quarterback position, whether by their own doing or by the fact that they've never quite been bad enough and been in a position to be able to take a quarterback high in the draft. Now they're finally had that opportunity. And look, we all think that they're going to go to Houston and lose. Then that next game against the Giants, that's your quote-unquote toilet bowl, you know, the battle for the first overall pick. Whoever wins that game loses, you know. And so if you're a Raiders fan, you're probably rooting for them to lose out so that you can get in that spot at the number one pick there. Because if the Giants end up with the first overall pick, they've got Jackson Dart. You got to imagine they're going to be looking to trade out of that. And then you're stuck as the Raiders, possibly picking second or third, and at the mercy of whatever quarterback is left available. Let's not forget, some of these guys could be going back to college as well. So you want to be in a position to be able to pick your guy and finally start to give fans some hope and bring in a guy to build around. Obviously, the quarterback isn't going to change everything like we detailed with the offensive line. You have to be able to build that up around a guy. But they are finally in position where if they just keep losing, they're going to have an opportunity to draft a quarterback and give themselves some hope. Now, obviously, you got to hit on that, but at the very least, that's some hope for the fans and some hope for the future. And even also, too, when you go looking at the offseason to bring in a new coach, you can say, hey, you get to pick your quarterback, and that's something that's very valuable for any coach out there that might want to come in here and coach the Raiders. Even though the roster is what it is, being able to pick your quarterback and build around him, that's something that a lot of coaches covet.
Jesse Marek, Silver Black Sports Network, is with us. I didn't like seeing Crosby and White, you know, kind of going at it as they walk to the sidelines. We've seen other situations around the NFL where coaches have been relieved of their duties. Steve Wilks just got fired as a DC of the Jets. Going back to Carroll's status, is there any chance they could meet up here this week, next week, and just say, you know what, Pete, we know what's going to happen here. Let's have you walk and let someone else finish out the season.
Yeah, you know, you see all the reports about the potential buyout and stuff like that. I don't think that's something that happens till the end of the year, you know, and I don't think Pete would want to leave either. He just seems like a guy that is like, hey, look, we're going, and look, even for the sake of the Raiders, he's going to treat every single game like it's a Super Bowl. So he's going out there trying to coach his team up to win, and that's obviously at the detriment of the team. I just don't see a world where Pete Carroll would want to walk away before the season is done, even as bad as it has been. But I do think that's something that obviously would come to the, you know, forefront on Black Monday as soon as the season is done. But, yeah, I just don't see him agreeing to walk away before then, and I don't see them pulling the trigger to do it either. And there's also the, what is the betting term, the dead cat bounce as well. You fire a coach, and, you know, the record is pretty insane on the teams that end up winning that next game with the interim head coach. If I'm them, I wouldn't want to do that before the Giants game. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Last 20 seconds here. The Chiefs, let's say Pat Mahomes isn't good to go till week 8 of next year. They need an experienced quarterback who can get him through the tough times at the beginning of the season. If I told you that the Chiefs could have Geno Smith for $3 million, would you use Geno Smith as your Band-Aid quarterback?
Oh, I bet you they would, yeah. I mean, look, the Chiefs roster is in a much better position. I know that offense hasn't been quite what it has been over the years, but I think, look, you look at Geno's career, and yes, he struggled with interceptions, but he's a guy that has been efficient in terms of his completion percentage and deep ball-wise. He's been able to throw the deep ball you know, better than many other quarterbacks out there over the course of his career since he started starting again in Seattle. I think they 100% would go for that.
Are up against it, brother. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, guys.